Today's study is titled God's Promises in the Rainbow. Chris and I have cautiously started to venture back out after the lockdown to purchase our own food and household supplies. Travelling through the towns and villages, we could not fail to notice paintings of rainbows in homes, shop windows, and at the end of people's drives, with the letters NHS boldly painted in the centre. Our first question would be to ask, why are folk creating and displaying these posters, and why these posters are so popular? It is to say a big thank you to all the doctors, nurses and care workers in the National Health Service who have worked so tirelessly to save lives, to help those who have been infected with the coronavirus. It is generally thought that using the rainbow as a symbol with its bright colours can bring a little joy in the midst of this disastrous pandemic. Yet, we need to turn to the Bible to see where the purpose of the rainbow is and where it originated. We hear what God said in the book of Genesis after God flooded the world and discover why God set the rainbow in the sky. In Genesis 9:12-17 we read, "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you, and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you, and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will I ever become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." This was God's promise to mankind, that he would not flood the world again. It is interesting to understand when and how a rainbow is formed. Whenever we have a heavy storm, as soon as the sun shines again, the rainbow appears. It is caused through the light of the sun shining through the droplets of rainwater, which causes a prism effect, which breaks up the light, forming the distinctive colours to the rainbow. It is also interesting to know that there are 7 colours in the rainbow, always showing the same pattern, starting with red on the outside, the first colour, then orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and finally violet on the inside. For farmers and those growing our food, they will experience periods of drought waiting for the rains to come and refresh the air, but most important, to nourish the plants. During this coronavirus pandemic, there are many folk around the world that are grieving over a loved one. At the best of times, there is always something or someone we will be concerned about, who we will be regularly praying for. Likewise, there are times in our lives when we feel our spirituality has dried up. We need God to send the rain of the Holy Spirit to revitalize our souls, to bring in renewed joy. Many times David had to cry out to God to seek his face. We read in Psalm 27:7-9, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour." This song reminds us where to turn in these difficult times. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I also think of a verse of a hymn which reads, "Drop thy still dew of quietness, till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace." Jesus encourages us in Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." When we regularly spend time reading the Bible and praying to our Heavenly Father, the light of His love will shine through us, creating a prism of His beauty, colourfully showing the many and varied wonderful aspects to His character in and through us. In the book of Hebrews 1:1-5, we read, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. In providing purification for our sins, Jesus had to endure hardship to the point of death. In all Jesus suffered, the writer of the book of Hebrews was able to picture the beauty of Jesus and His character. We read in the Old Testament of many faithful followers of God who also suffered. In Hebrews 12:1-3, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." May Jesus, who is the radiance of God's love, shine through us and cause our faces to shine for Him like a rainbow being displayed, portraying His love to those whom we meet each day. In the second book in the Bible, the book of Exodus, we are reminded of these vivid colours in the rainbow when Jacob, Abram's second son, gave his favourite son Joseph a coat of many colours. Because of Jacob's favour towards his son, the rest of the brothers became very jealous, leading them to unsuccessfully try and kill Joseph. The brothers devised a plan to sell Joseph to some merchants who were on their way to Egypt. To cover up their tracks, they dipped Joseph's precious coat in an animal blood and presented the coat to their father, telling him they had found the coat with the belief an animal had killed him. Joseph ended up in the court of Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, and was well favoured, yet found himself in prison for a time, having succumbed to Pharaoh's wife falsely accusing him of molesting her. The key to Joseph's success is found in Exodus 39:1-6. "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of Egypt because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had to Joseph's care, with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. The key phrase in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. It did not mean that Joseph prospered financially, no. It was that he was given the opportunity to take on responsibilities and in doing so become a successful leader, which eventually led him to becoming the Prime Minister of Egypt. Because of Joseph's faithfulness to God, the success did not just affect Joseph's life, it affected everyone and everything connected with Joseph. But Joseph's success came at a cost. He was falsely treated and had to spend a number of years in prison before God used him to interpret a dream Pharaoh had, which was given to Pharaoh by God, warning him that 7 years of drought would shortly happen, resulting in Joseph receiving promotion to governor of Egypt, which we read about in Genesis 41:41-46. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephanath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and travelled throughout Egypt. I see a number of lessons for us in the life of Joseph. Above everything, Joseph lived his life with truth and integrity, staying strong through the many trials he faced. Because of his faithfulness to God, God went ahead of him and was behind him in everything he did, giving him recognition with a place of authority. But it came at a price. Joseph had to spend a few years in prison, enduring false accusation. The blessings God bestowed on Joseph affected everything and everyone Joseph was connected with. What an encouragement for us to stay faithful to our God. Because when at times we may experience false accusations and be misunderstood, God's righteousness shining through us will become contagious and will affect the folk we live with and connect with each day. While Egypt was going through the period of drought, the drought also affected the land of Canaan, where Joseph's family were living. Joseph's father Jacob then sent his sons into Egypt to buy grain, not knowing they were to meet their brother Joseph, who they did not recognize, in order to buy the grain. Again, Joseph endured an agonizing period by keeping his identity private until he could not hold out any longer, with a tearful reunion, inviting his family to live in Egypt to survive the drought. You may be going through a time of wrestling with relationships, maybe with members of your family. You may have endured injustice for a long time, yet you have stayed faithful to your God and to your friends and family. But just like Joseph, you can, under God's timing and his direction, experience that reconciliation. Let us read what happened when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, which we read about in Genesis 45:1-8. Then Joseph could not no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save life that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father of Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." Then, after Jacob, Joseph's father, died, we read in Genesis 50:15-21, "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?' So they sent word to Joseph saying, 'Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father.' When this message came to Joseph, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. 'We are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children.' And he answered them, and he reassured them and spoke kindly to them." If we have wronged someone, there is only one way forward. It is necessary to ask them to forgive us for the wrong we have done, so in turn, a true reconciliation can be made. That is why Jesus died on the cross, to reconcile us back to himself. Remember the words Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them." He took our place, taking our sins and nailing them to the cross. If we make that request, asking God to forgive us and asking him to be Lord and Saviour, then he will forgive us and we will become a child of God. As we read in Romans 10 verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." What a blessed outcome to the story. God went before Joseph, who stayed faithful to his God, paving the way for Joseph to save his father and brothers from starvation, who had so willfully mistreated him. Yet, in all that Joseph had suffered, it was the means of bringing reconciliation between him and his brothers. In closing, let us listen to the song, a rendering to a well-known song we trust will refresh you today.
Little song that we sing sometimes, I'd like for us to just sing it a couple times. "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity, O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Just a short while ago that there are more verses to that song. I really didn't know. I'd like for us to sing those other verses. Brother Cranston, just give us that first key and we'll sing it without the music. And worship the Lord. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me.